We are starting a series on Exodus. It will last 4 months, all right? And today, we want to talk about more of an intro to Exodus. And so let me talk first. Have you ever, about this low, you have notes, so, you know, good luck with that, all right? But I'll give you some blanks in there. I want to talk about a load-bearing story that this is. Have you ever remodeled a house? I have done it to mine, and I probably will do it many times, not because I desire to, but because my better half does. And there is something in a house called a load-bearing wall. Has anybody ever made the mistake of taking out that load-bearing wall? Don't do that, all right? You don't knock those down without much trouble. There's some that you can't touch, and it would be a load-bearing wall. If you do, then it's possible the whole structure collapses. You can probably go on Instagram or some social media site and find where people have done that. And then go down a rabbit hole where you are with a shocked face, you can't believe it, and with a, you know, kind of underlying laughter, also can't believe it, yet find it extremely funny. If you've experienced that, not so funny, right? Why should we care about an old story like Exodus? Because Exodus is one of those load-bearing walls, you could say, foundational to all of God's narrative of Scripture. If we want to understand, this is a big statement to make, but if we want to understand who God is and who Jesus is and how God saves and all the work that he does, we need to know Exodus. It holds up the rest, you could say, of the biblical story, gives weight to it, meaning to our own lives. Now, one of the beautiful things about Scripture, and we'll hear it probably over the coming weeks, and then I used a lot of Bible Project study through here, so you're going to see it if you watch any of their videos. They have one called The Exodus Way Now, highly recommended, and a beautiful podcast where they do a deep dive into Exodus. But their kind of statement is hyperlinks. You might know it as cross-references. This picture is an interesting one where it shows, if you've ever seen this, the white line shooting down are Genesis to Revelation, all the books of the Bible. And if you go to this site, and you go to the one where they link them all, you can actually hover over the white lines, and it's book by book, chapter by chapter, and then all the different, you know, colors that shoot over, those are hyperlinks to another scripture. This is over 63,700 hyperlinks or cross-references that this represents in the entire Bible. It's amazing. If you go to a deep dive on a cross-reference like Bible, or you deep dive into that, you're gonna find maybe 300, 400, 500,000 references. Some of them, they break down into words. All over the Bible itself, it is full of connections, like hyperlinks on a web page where you click it and it goes to somewhere else. Over 63,000 times this comes up. One passage pointing to another, showing us the story that is all tied together. This matters, and it's a big deal. Exodus is one of the biggest anchor points in all of God's narrative scripture, the Bible. It looks back to creation and Abraham, reminding us how God has been faithful. It looks forward to Jesus, pointing to his ultimate rescue. And it invites us to see our own lives in that same pattern, shaped by God's promises, God's rescue, God's presence in life and in the story. This means that Exodus is not just a story. It's our story. I mean, even more, it's God's story. But to see it clearly, we need to understand how God writes the story, how he makes a way through the story, and how Jesus then brings life to the story. I mean, we see this in India. We want to see it here, right at Journey and in our valley and in our nation. So let's talk about these first 8 verses defined by God's faithfulness. Now, Exodus is going to start out really powerful, really suck you in, really pull you into the story when it says, these are the names. Are you serious? It's like Matthew. Oh, are you kidding me? A lot of you just skip right down to the good part, right? Somewhere in here, they're going to cross the Red Sea, right? Where's that at? These are the names, but this matters. These are the names of the sons of Israel, that is Jacob, who moved to Egypt with their father, each with his family, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. In all, Jacob had 70 descendants in Egypt, including Joseph, who was already there. In time, Joseph and all of his brothers died, ending that entire generation. That's important to remember. But their descendants, the Israelites, had many children and grandchildren. In fact, this is so key, it's going to come up in a minute. Here's a hyperlink. They multiplied so greatly that they became extremely powerful and filled the land. Woo! It's good. But look at this verse. Eventually, a new king came to power in Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. This is the picture of God's faithfulness. These are the names. This isn't just a list, it's a family album. Every name is a story. Behind each name is God's faithfulness, his promise, his hand at work fulfilling his plan. So how do we live in God's plan? In those verses, Exodus shows us three truths. There are many more, but I'm going to give you three truths that are big ideas, foundational pieces for us about God and his story. Number one, in your notes, and you can write some other things down as we move forward, that whatever comes up, write it down so that you can remember later on. Number one, God writes the story. You're going to hear the word story a lot from me. He writes it. Exodus doesn't start with Pharaoh or Moses. It starts with a family tree. Why? Because God's promises didn't die with Joseph. Exodus is the continuation of God's story. It echoes everywhere. It is hyperlinked, cross-referenced all over the place, all the way back to Genesis and all the way forward to Revelation. This matters. This makes a big difference for us. In those, just those first eight verses, we see these hyperlinks, these connections to, maybe you already caught it, Genesis 1, 26 through 28. What did God tell him to do? Be fruitful and multiply. It's echoing God's promise. The Israelites were doing what God had commanded and promised them to do. Verse 7 says, the Israelites were fruitful, multiplied greatly, became exceedingly numerous and filled the land. That is Genesis language. It's God language. Even in Egypt, check this out, even in hardship, God's promise was alive. God's people were fruitful and multiplied. He goes on in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, God's promise to Abraham's family, through your family, the nations will be blessed. This is Exodus 1. All the way to Genesis then 15, the covenant promise of what they would become. God tells Abraham, this is what you will become, you with nothing. I will turn into something. He also tells him they will be in captivity for 400 years, but with the promise of freedom and return. And then you jump to Genesis 46. It closes out Genesis. And what does Genesis 46 say? There's this exciting part again. These are the names. Same names in Exodus chapter 1. It's like Exodus is part two of the story. These are the names. Exodus opens like a genealogy because this is God saying, and some of us need to hear this today, I didn't forget you. My promises didn't die with Joseph. My blessing keeps multiplying. My story is still unfolding. It keeps moving forward. Think about your family story. Maybe it feels broken. Maybe prayers haven't been answered. Maybe it feels like your story is small or insignificant. Maybe it feels like God's promises died with someone in your past. But Exodus says, and yes, those first verses, God's promises are stronger than death. They don't depend on one person. They depend on a faithful God. And God is at work. He is not finished, and he never forgets. So my response is, trust him. Let him bear the weight of your broken story. So Exodus begins by showing us that God is the author. He's the one writing the story. He's carrying his promises from Genesis into a new chapter. But here's the thing, every good story has conflict. Anybody in conflict today? And when God's people face hardship, when the promises feel threatened, the author does not put down his pen, he keeps writing. And more than that, he makes a way, which leads us to the second truth. God makes a way through the story. Exodus, it's a pattern of salvation. God's people are pressed down, yet God is still at work. Blessing always meets resistance, but resistance never cancels. This was a good one for me. Maybe think about it. Maybe write it in your own words. Resistance never cancels God's promise. Chew on that a little bit. So this becomes the template that God repeats over and over. This is Bible Project stolen words, but right there in the scripture. Here is Exodus, you could say. One, it's the way out. It's what Exodus means, the road out. It's the definition of Exodus. God redeeming his people from slavery, the way through. This is Exodus. God leads them through the wilderness to trust him. And the way in, God brings them into the promise of a new life. But let me bring something up to you in verse 8, that last verse. It's very important for us to be reminded about. Look at what verse 8 says. That very last one said, a new king arose who didn't know Joseph. This is interesting. Because this is not about memory, though. Forgetting facts, or I've never heard of Joseph before. It's about acknowledgement. Pharaoh refused to recognize Joseph, but even more, he refused to acknowledge and honor God. And here's the danger. When one generation forgets to acknowledge God, the next generation suffers. Ooh, that's a big statement too. That's why Moses wrote these words later on when he is in the wilderness and they are working through all of this and God is taking them through. In Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 through 12, he says, watch out, be careful when you go in this land that I'm giving you. Be careful never to forget what you yourself have seen. Do not let these memories escape from your mind as long as you live, and be sure to pass them on to your children and grandchildren. Don't forget what I did in Egypt, how I got you out, how I brought you through, and where I have now taken you into that land. Don't forget that. Don't forget it. That's why we do communion. Don't forget who the Exodus is all about. Each generation must teach the next generation. This is Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9. This is on the screen. This is important. This is our foundation for our kids' ministry here. This comes up a lot when I do some baby dedications, parent dedications. And he says in Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 12, actually, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Ooh, that sounds familiar. That's a link later on. Jesus stuff. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Man, just all over the place. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands. Wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Be careful not to forget the Lord. Why? He rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. What they are saying is, teach your children, our children, the biblical story. The hope and redemption that is found in God alone. Teach them who he is, what he does, what he believes about them, his desire for relationship with his people. They're going to need to know that. And God will take them through, even if it's a long time. But you need to remember. Acknowledge. Because it's not that we forget as much as we just don't acknowledge God sometimes. And his work. But Exodus 1, 1 through 8 shows us that while Pharaoh forgot, God remembered. In Exodus 2 later on, coming up, it says God remembered his covenant when he heard the groaning and crying of his people. That's an anchor of hope that God never forgets. Our remembering, it's fragile. I forget all the time. Ask my wife, Heidi. I don't think it's just like I'm getting old, 61. I'm right on the edge of like saying, I'm an old man. I forgot. Right now, that's not working so well. Our remembering is fragile. His is perfect. That's why we must keep passing this story on, teaching our kids, our friends, the next generation, who God is and what he's done. This is why in India, it is important to have those Bible clubs to help us remember. Because forgetting leads to despair, but remembering God's faithfulness fuels our hope. Some of you are in a season where you're weary from working on a way out on your own strength. Some of you are wrestling through the wilderness and struggling to trust. Some of you are waiting and wandering on the edge of a promise, but it feels like it's just out of reach. No matter where you are, working, wrestling, waiting, wandering, or weary of all of this, your hope is this, that God has not forgotten you. He will make a way. This would be really good right now if the worship team was here and we went right into that song, if you know it. We're not going to do that, but if you jump up to Isaiah 43, it reminds us in that chapter, I am the God who makes a way where there seems to be no way. You know what Jesus said? John 5:17, my Father is always working, and so am I. I'm following him. So when I am at, you've heard me say this so many times, at my lowest, I believe that the God, the Trinity is working, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, always. And when I don't see it, I remember that he has taken care of me. I remember what he did, even though I am not experiencing it that way. Again and again, Exodus shows us that God makes a way out of slavery, through the wilderness, into the promise. But even this great story is pointing forward because God's way isn't just about survival. It's about new life. And that new life comes through Jesus. He is the greater Exodus, which brings us to that third truth. Jesus brings life to the story. Exodus isn't just Israel's story or even our story. It's Jesus' story. It's God's. Exodus points us straight to Jesus, and Jesus brings clarity to the narrative of God. So he is talking about Exodus and Deuteronomy and Genesis and Numbers all the time. He brings clarity to it. Where? Here's just a few. In Luke 9, on the Mountain of Transfiguration, we talked about this in the Mountain series just weeks ago. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus talked with Moses. You know what they talked about? The Exodus, his death, all these things that point back to this, resurrection. In Luke 22, at the Last Supper, he redefined the Passover as the new Exodus meal. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul said, Christ, our Passover lamb, Exodus has been sacrificed. In Romans 8:18 through 23, it says that creation itself, we'll see this coming up in the next couple weeks, groans for a greater Exodus as they did. In Galatians 4:4 through 7, the writer wrote to the church, to us, but when the right, this is interesting, when the right time came, this is Exodus, God sent his son to buy freedom for us who were slaves so we could be adopted as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. And now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child, his heir. This is Exodus language. Jesus is the new Moses, the Passover lamb, the Red Sea deliverer. If we don't understand Exodus, we cannot understand Jesus properly. He is the ultimate fulfillment of God's story. He is the way out of sin. He is the way through the wilderness and the way into the promise of new creation. If you've been working hard to make yourself perfect, to experience what God has for you, I just implore you, let Jesus, the one who died for that sin, bear the weight of your sin and life. What do? You give your life to him. Maybe you feel like God is not answering your prayers, like your story has stalled, like you're stuck in Egypt, wandering the desert. Exodus is God's answer to you. If God was faithful to them, he will be faithful to you. Jesus is your Exodus. He's not forgotten you. He's still leading you, still saving, still bringing you in. Look to Jesus as the one who makes your story meaningful. Step into life with him, for he will bring clarity and purpose and life to your story. Trust him, follow him, let him lead you into that new life. Let him bear the weight of your broken story. So Exodus points us to Jesus, the one who takes the old story, fills it with new life. And here's the good news. This isn't just history. We're not spending months in Exodus because we think it's a good story. Or it's, wow, it'd be nice to know a little history. There's some great stories in here. It'll be fun. It's an invitation. If Exodus is load-bearing, then your faith can rest on it too. Which means we're not just studying Israel's story, we're studying and getting to know God. Ah, his story. And then we're stepping into that plan for us today. So real quickly, joining God's plan. The worship team can come. I know you're shocked that I'm actually ending. But I'm not done yet. I think that living in God's story, at least for me, especially as I've grown into this, it just changes how I see everything. It doesn't mean I do everything, right? But I'm looking at it from the plan of redemption all the way to the everyday details of my life. I think there's something there in all of that. Ephesians chapter 1, I found this very powerful, reminded me of that, that God's plan is to bring everything together in Christ. That's where history is headed. And if God was faithful then, he'll be faithful now. Look at Ephesians 1, 9 through 11. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. In the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. This is why I lay my life upon him. This is why I give everything to him. He revealed it all in Jesus. He fulfills it through Jesus. At the right time, through Jesus, he will bring it all together under his authority. And because I am united with him, I receive that inheritance. And he makes it work out according to his plan. So here's the invitation. Don't just hear the Exodus's history. Hear it as your story. I mean, ultimately, of God, we're learning about him, and we're going to learn it about him through this. But here's something for us. If God was faithful, I've said this enough times, but one more time, if God was faithful to them, he will be faithful to you. Hear that. If God was faithful to them, and this is all true of who he is and how he worked over his whole plan, if he was faithful to them, it wasn't just for them. It's linked all over. Jesus brought it up. It's fulfilled in him. If he was faithful to them, he will be faithful to you. If God made a way out then, he can make a way out now. especially for those of us that feel there is no way out. And some of you are weary and broken and exhausted because you've been trying to get make a way out on your own for a long time. You've been trying to make that relationship work, that job work, your life work, the sin go away on your own, in your own strength, and it's exhausting and it's not working, is it? If God made a way out then, he can make a way out now. If God led them through then, he can lead you through now. I mean, the lead part's tough, right? Because you gotta let him lead. There lies the problem, right? It's not that I forgot. It's that I don't acknowledge God. And acknowledging means you let him lead. And if God brought them in, we will see that in the story, but we know all the narrative of God this way. He will bring you in. No matter where you are, God is the God of the Exodus, and he always makes a way. Would you stand with me? Father, today I pray that you would just move in our hearts. What an intro for an incredible just part of your story. It's awesome. May we remember today that you have written the story. This is your story. It's not ours. We get to be a part of it. We get to step into it. But it's not our story, it's yours. This is a place where we want to learn about you, how you work and how you move. We want to let you lead. We want to acknowledge you. You'll bring us out. There is that letting you lead part. Maybe crying out to you for the things that we need or where we're at, or letting you bear the weight of our broken story and redeeming it. That means when we're in the wilderness and we're figuring this out through our imperfections, you'll bring us through. We thank you for that. For your word said later in Isaiah, and Jesus, you said, man, you'll make a way when there is no way, and my Father is always working, and so am I. I want to trust you that you're working even when I don't see it or experience it the way that I expected. And then I want to come to this place where, Jesus, you have fulfilled it all. You are the one that gives life to the story. You are the one who redeems our life and makes it new. This new Exodus, this promised land. I mean, really, it's just how you change us. So we want to follow you. For those of us that know you and already do, help us through this. May we just acknowledge it, constantly come back to you when we fall away. For those that don't know you, maybe this is the day when they say, you know what, I surrender all, I give my life to you, Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith, the author of the story. I don't got you all figured out, but I believe this part that you are it, and so I'm gonna follow you and trust you. Maybe this is the day for someone there, Lord. So thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.